You're finding your seat, if you will open to Exodus chapter 18. We'll read the whole chapter this morning, so get comfy. It's a good story, though. Exodus chapter 18. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro took her back along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, "I've been an alien in a foreign land." The name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, "The God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came into the wilderness where Moses was encamped at the mountain of God, bringing Moses' sons and wife to him. He sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed down and kissed him. Each asked after the other's welfare, and they went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had beset them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Jethro rejoiced for all the good the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who's delivered you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from the Egyptians when they dealt arrogantly with them." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day Moses sat as judge over the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them the statutes and instructions, and make known to them the way they are to go and the things they are to do. You should also look for able men among all the people, men who fear God, are trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. Set such men over them as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case themselves. So it'll be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their home in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men from all Israel and appointed them as heads over the people, as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but any minor case they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went off to his own country. Would you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of these words, would you inspire our hearing them this day? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're now officially in the second half of this series that we've been walking through this fall on hearing the voice of God. And it's been my prayer all along that, along with meeting here on Sunday mornings and getting some tools in our tool belts of how we hear from God, that we're actually taking time to go home and to pause and to listen for him in our everyday lives. I pray that we have been hearing a little more in the last few weeks, God speaking to us, meeting us right where we are, and leading us forward more and more into his will. I pray that we are seeing that he is in fact speaking all the time, if we only have ears to listen. So far, we have affirmed that we have a God who speaks through to us through his creation, through nature, through the gift of silence and solitude, and through the gift of his word, through scripture. And this morning, we move to one more step and affirm that we have a God who often speaks to us through the gift of others, of his people. Because you know, our God, he understands us. And he knows that sometimes we struggle to hear from him when we can't really see him in the same way that we see others. And so from the very beginning of time, we see that God has used people that we can see and that we can hear to help deliver his messages to us loud and clear. Reminds me of the story of a little boy who was scared at night and went to his parents' room and asked if he could sleep with them. And they encouraged him and said, "No, go back to your room because God will be with you." And he said, "But Mom and Dad, I'm scared and I really need a God with skin on." We get it, right? God gets this. And so from Abraham to Moses to the judges and the kings and the prophets to the incarnation where God actually puts skin on and starts walking this earth as one of us, and finally then to this beautiful thing called the church, we have a God who has always chosen to speak to his people through his people. God speaks through others. The tricky thing in all this, though, is that there tend to be people everywhere. And people like to talk a lot, especially women. And I can say that because I am one. We like to talk. There is no need for any more advice in this world. We can get it everywhere. Advice and self-interest and lots of people with zero connection to God who have a very humble opinion of their own to offer out to the world. So how do we do it? How do we discern this holy and extraordinary gift of others and what they have to offer of wisdom and discernment among all of this ordinary chatter? How do we discern divine guidance among all of the other opinions around us? This ancient text this morning, I think, gives us some very helpful pointers in this direction. We see in Exodus 18 that God comes and he speaks to Moses very clearly through the gift of his father-in-law, Jethro. I think there's at least four insights from this passage, this encounter with God, that guide us in our own unique relationships with others. How do we discern if God is in that, if God is speaking through that? First and foremost, we have a God who we see tends to speak to us as we intentionally draw near to those in our lives who can see and rejoice in what God is doing in our lives. There in verses 1 through 8, we see that Jethro, he had begun to hear all about what God had done for Moses and for Israel, and so he comes to see Moses himself. There in verse 8, Moses is telling Jethro the whole run through, everything that the Lord had done for Israel. He tells them the stories of hardship and delivery, of how they escaped the hands of Pharaoh by God's grace alone. He sits there and he hears the story of Israel's great struggle and of their great victory. And whenever he hears this great report, according to verse 9, it says, Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done. Now here's the important little often missed point in this passage. Notice that what Jethro is rejoicing in is not his own story. Jethro is not a Hebrew. He's a Midianite. He never stood on the banks of the Red Sea and saw it parted in two. He didn't get to experience that. What God had done for Moses up until now was utterly unique. Fair to say that it was probably way more than anything God had done for Jethro up to this point. And yet, upon hearing Moses' story, Jethro stops and rejoices. He's able to look beyond himself and recognize the gift of God in the life of Moses and the people of Israel. And he chooses to celebrate that work right alongside them. That's a gift. You see, we all need those people in our lives who are other-centered enough to see God in our midst when we start to miss him. We need those people in our lives who will rejoice, who will choose to rejoice in the ways they see God's hand and presence in our lives, even if they're not so much feeling God's hand and presence in their life at the moment. The people who will never see what God's doing in our lives as something that brings about their own jealousy or intimidation, but they will simply know that our God is their God. And so our story is their story, and we get to share it together and rejoice together. We need those people in our lives who love God enough to rejoice at what he's doing in our story, even if it looks totally different than what he's doing in their story. They're few and far between, but they're out there. We need to be near to them. If you walk into my office, you'll see on the little coffee table that sits in the middle of it is a plate, a platter, and it's full of rocks. And there's painted along the platter, it says, "This is your story that tells you that our God is mighty." I received this gift my very last night in Waco before I made the trip up to Washington, gathered around a table with about a dozen of my closest friends, and all of them had brought a rock to add to this plate. And as they held the rock, they sat there and they looked me in the eyes and they told me stories and words of affirmation of how they had seen God at work in my life and how they knew that I was going where he was calling me to go, and they wanted to simply affirm that. They wanted to simply let me know that they sent me off with their love and their blessing and their assurance. And they said, "Jamie, put this somewhere central because it won't be long before you start questioning, what in the world am I doing here?" Took about 3 weeks. And they said, "When you do that, look at this plate and these rocks, because we as your friends want you to know that we see what God is doing, and we believe it, and we walk with you into it." Special people, a special gift. You see, we hear from our God when we draw near to those people who are willing to see and rejoice in what God is doing in our lives. Those people who want to help us see it too. I wonder in your life, who is that person? Who are those people for you? If you don't have them, find them quickly. It's important. And then we often hear from God when we intentionally draw near to a people who again and again lead us into the act of worship. In verses 10 through 12, just as soon as Jethro hears what God has done for Israel, he begins to rejoice. He doesn't just rejoice with the really quick, "Well, thanks be to God, let's get on with things." But instead, he gets up from what he is doing, and he brings a burnt offering and a full sacrifice before God. And he stops and he invites Aaron and all the spiritual leaders in Israel to join him in eating bread in the presence of God, it says. Jethro, this outsider, he stops and he leads Moses and Moses' people into this moment of worship. Through his urging, the whole nation was invited for a moment to slow down and to gain a little perspective, and to marvel once again at what God had done for them together. People that invite us into worship, draw near to them. Began to think about this point and realize that I have this incredible gift of being the pastor in this place, of walking alongside people right here that every single week invite me again and again into a place of worship. You see, over this year, as I've gotten to know you, I've watched so many of you go through all kinds of things in a year's time. It's crazy what 1 year can bring. I've walked alongside you and seen some of you through the loss of spouses. Some of you have struggled with illness in yourself and in loved ones. Some of you have voiced real fears about your children and your grandchildren, about your life and your future. And I have shed tears with you, and I've prayed with you, and I've joined you in this uncertainty quite often with God about what he's doing and why. And yet knowing week in and week out what so many of you carry into this place, I find myself absolutely amazed every single week when I look out over this place and see that here you are again. You came back to this thing called worship. You're still pursuing and desiring this God with all your heart, even when your heart is breaking into pieces. You are still wanting to know him and to serve him and to please him and to grow in him. I still hear you behind me filling up this room with songs of praise. And at the end of the service, I still see you week after week walking this aisle and offering your life in prayer to this mysterious God who doesn't always work how we want him to work again and again. You invite me into worship, and I can't thank you enough for that. There's nothing in a week that thrills me more than to get a phone call or a visit from one of you right in the middle of the day when I least expect it, usually when I'm totally bogged down in my email anyway. And here you come, and just to tell me about something that God has put on your heart or that he's shown you, and you simply want to share it with me. You're inviting me to stop what I'm doing and to simply rejoice and this God with you. Those are good, holy moments. We hear God when we draw near to those people who call us to worship. Who in your life does that for you over and over again? Find those people and be near them, because our God speaks through them. Third, then, we hear God's voice through people who love us enough to remind us of our limits and our need. People who love us enough to keep us humble and to keep us real. There in verses 13 through 18, Jethro observes as Moses takes his place to judge over the people. He's surrounded, it says, by needs from morning until evening. Jethro looks at Moses, and he's not at all deceived by his status or his title, and he simply says to Moses, "What are you thinking, trying to tackle this all on your own?" He says, "Moses, why do you sit alone?" Moses' response to him more or less says, "Well, Jethro, I don't know if you know this because you're an outsider, but these people, they need me. God uses me to speak to them. I alone make God's law known to them." In other words, he says, "I stand alone because I'm the only one cut out for this position. I'm pretty important, Jethro. And I don't know if you know it, but this work that I'm doing, I actually kind of like having all the responsibility. It makes me feel pretty valuable. I like being the one to speak for God. I like being the one who gets to solve all the problems, who gets to offer the help. I alone am capable and called." To which Jethro, totally unfazed, honestly responds with, "Please, Moses, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What you are doing is not good." He says, "You will wear yourself out, and then you won't have anything to offer at all." Jethro says, "Moses, get a grip on reality. There are hundreds of thousands of people out here. Surely there's someone else God can use beside just you." He says, "I think you've forgotten, Moses. It wasn't all that long ago that you were at the burning bush begging God to use somebody, anybody, but you. How quickly you've lost touch with who you really are and what you know to be true." You see, God speaks to us as we draw near to people who will love us enough to speak truth to us in this same way. These are people in our lives who will tell us unhealthy habits and patterns that they see in our lives, the things we don't like to talk about. They will confront us with sin. Yes, they'll warn us of pride and of arrogance. And they won't do it out of snobbery or out of a need to control, but they will do it out of a genuine love for us and for God and for God's people. You see, Jethro has already shown that he is not about self-interest in the least. He cares for Moses. He cares for Moses so much that he is bringing his own daughter and grandsons to be with him. It's his daughter's husband. He wants him to be healthy. Jethro loves God. He loves God so much that he's willing to usher the people into a season of worship for God. And Jethro cares about God's people. He cares about them so much that he's willing to be the only one who will have the courage to call out their unhealthy leader on their behalf. This correction, this word of truth, is out of love. I wonder, who is it in your life that you allow to speak this kind of truth to you? Who do you give complete permission to just simply speak the truth, even when it's too good to be true, and even when it hurts? And do these people speak this truth to you out of love for God, and out of love for you, and out of love for others? If you've got those people, my friends, draw near to them, because I can guarantee you God speaks through them. And if you don't have these people, then hurry up and find them. This is important. We can't run from the truth, because it is in the truth that we find freedom. And it is in the truth that we truly find our God, in the truth that we truly find ourselves. I thank God for the people in my life who love me enough to speak truth to me. In the last couple weeks, I can tell you that no less than 5 people have asked me, who I am getting help from, have asked me what I am doing around this place that's really and truly sustainable, and what needs to be passed on to other people. That people who have stopped in their tracks and asked me how I'm taking care of myself emotionally and spiritually and relationally. And if you're one of those people, thank you. Thank you. These are healthy, loving questions to ask. And these are necessary for me to hear and reflect and act upon. And so thank you for being those people to me. You see, God often speaks as we draw near to those who will speak truth into our lives, in love, reminding us of our own limits and our own need. Those people who will point out places of pride and destruction, and who will refuse to let us stay there. I wonder, who are these people in your life? Draw near to them. Our God speaks through them. Finally, then, we have a God who speaks through others who have this insight into his will that we have not yet received. There in verses 19 through 27, Jethro begins to propose a solution to Moses' problem. He tells Moses to teach God's statutes to the people so he won't be the only one responsible for knowing them. Seems smart enough. He says, then look for leaders who know and fear God among you to serve as officers over groups of Israelites. He says, these guys will sit as judges over their assigned people, and they will deal with minor cases on their own. He says, it's okay, Moses. You can let go, and you can trust them with that. He says, let these people bear the burden with you, and you and the people will all be better off for it. And the story concludes by saying Moses did just what his father-in-law recommended. It's a brilliant plan. It seems like common sense, but when you're too near to the problem, sometimes common sense is really hard to see. Moses just needed some perspective from someone not so close to the issue, from someone who loved the people that were involved in the issue. And through him, through Jethro, this guy who only believed in God for like 5 minutes, the people of God heard God's voice about what to do next. You see, there have been many times in my life that God used others to shed insight on his will for me to me. I remember back in college, my sophomore year, I was dead set on being a missionary. And I had told God that I'd go anywhere in the world, but I didn't really mean it. So it just sounded nice. And people would ask me about the Middle East specifically. And I had told several of them, I'm not really called the Middle East. I said, there's nothing about that part of the world that is at all intriguing to me. Birthplace of Jesus, whatever, you know. So I just kind of dismissed it. I was at a conference one weekend. A complete stranger was speaking. I don't even know who it was or what the thing was about. But there was one point that he went on this 5-minute discourse about what God is doing and wants to do in the Middle East. And he said, if you have ever told anyone that you don't have a heart for the Middle East, I was like, oh no, oh no. He said, you better check your heart with God. He said, because he's on the move in that place and he's looking for his people who will go. A complete stranger. I knew it was God speaking to me. I went to my dorm room that night, got on my knees and said, God, I don't want to go there, but if you want me to be willing, I'm willing for you to make me willing. It's the first step. 3 years later, I was in the Middle East. Wouldn't give it back for anything. During seminary, as I was wrestling with this call to be a pastor and was terrified, felt inadequate, felt completely afraid, I had 2 professors and 1 mentor in my life that for 2 years walked by my side, and they told me more times than I can count, Jamie, you are a pastor. You are a preacher. You don't see it. You can't hear it, but we do. And we're going to hold it with you and for you until you come into it yourself. On the phone about 2 years ago now, talking to Patty Duckworth, my first connection to the Northwest, and sat there for an hour and shared with her my story and my heart and my longing. Never even had any thought of coming up here. And she said on the phone, she said, you know, it sounds like there's this special connection between you and our churches in the Northwest. She says, it sounds like you need us and we need you. She said, just think about it. Pray about it. And until you're discerning that God wants to send you here, I'm going to pray about it on your behalf. And kind of waited out. I had no idea that she knew what she knew. Then here I was about 4 months ago, having coffee at Starbucks with Danielle Johnson, who's in the nursery right now. And I had been praying to God about what our church on mission would look like, knowing that he wants us to be a more vital part of our community and trying to ask God for some wisdom on what does that mean. And I met her for coffee one morning for something totally different, and all of a sudden she just began to pour out her heart. And God had given her a passion, a vision for Beards Cove. And as she began to speak and share, it was like God was speaking into this year and Danielle into this year. And God was saying, Jamie, this is it. Mission, BCC in this community, find a pocket in the community and invest deeply and get busy and love those people well. She's heard from me, hear from her. I'm speaking before I even knew what it would look like. One who is part of us, who gives 20 hours, it seems like a week, though it's probably 5, to our nursery, had a vision for ministry and mission in our community. And God spoke through that. You see, God speaks through those who can see glimpses of his will in our lives that we can't yet see ourselves. I wonder, in your life, who are these people for you? When you find them, stay close to them. God speaks. And here's the really, really, really cool thing. If it is true that God does indeed speak to us through others, then don't leave this place before you get this. That must mean that God can also speak to others through us. Did you put that together? We don't have to only be the recipients. We can actually be the mouthpieces of the living God here on this earth in the lives of our brothers and sisters. That is good news. And if we believe that, then may we be committed to being a people who choose to be quick to rejoice in what God is doing in the lives of our friends and our relatives and our church and our community. A people who never have a reason to be threatened or jealous, so that God can speak freely through us. You know, it is far too easy to look around at other people and situations and find something to complain about. You don't have to be creative for that. Anyone can complain. But what good is that for anyone? We've got enough of that in this world. Let us be a people who look into the lives of others until we find a reason to rejoice about what God is doing. And let's make it known. Who knows? Someone may hear God's whisper through a voice that sounds a whole lot like our own rejoicing voices. I can tell you for certain, I have never heard God's voice through a nagging complaint. Do what you will with that. If God does choose to speak through us, then may we be those people who commit to constantly calling one another into worship. A people who are so engaged in not the weekly, but the daily worship of our God that our lives just naturally invite others into His presence too. I've had my friend Rachel in town this week. She came from Waco to visit, and she loves to sing. And she sings like all the time. And it's always worship. And so I've had worship in my house for the past 5 days. And my friends, it's awesome. Find people who make you worship whether you want to or not. Because our God speaks through worship. And might we be a people who are committed to speak the truth to each other in absolute love for God and for others and for the church. Notice there's not a lot of room in this story or in all of Scripture for truth to be spoken before there is love. That's when it divides. But as soon as love is there, may we be a people who remind each other of our limits. May we love each other enough to not let destructive patterns and unconfessed sin fester for too long. May we love each other enough to stick with one another in our mutual journeys toward holiness. You know, it's easy to say only the things that people want to hear. And it's easy to discuss other sins with everyone but that person. But may we love enough to speak the truth in a way that always leads to life. Others might just hear that guiding, protecting, good shepherd's voice through us and our love for them. And finally, may we be a people who step outside of our own selves enough to discern what God might be up to for His kingdom's sake in others. It is far too easy to write off youth as too young and 20-somethings as too unsettled, and young couples as far too busy, and older people as too tired. If we keep doing this, who's going to do anything around here? That's too easy. It's too easy to write people off and just imagine that God's kind of done with them or God's waiting for them. To stop imagining what crazy things God might actually want to do through them right here and right now. So let's commit to being a people who push against that. And instead, let's make every effort to actually step into the lives of others, people of all ages, from all walks of life. And let's be near them until we've actually gotten to know them, to know their unique personalities, their passions, their gifts, their hopes, and their dreams. And let's stay near these people long enough to see where God's will intersects all of these things until God himself has shed light on what he's doing and what he is still longing to do. As we step outside of our own little worlds and enter into the world of another, we may just get to be the ones who say, "You ever thought about the Middle East? You know, there's a church across the nation that might be a great place for you. God is using you in this. Don't give up too soon. Get some help so you don't wear out. Look and take heart. Here's what God is doing that I've seen, but you haven't yet seen. God may just choose to use us to be his voice in their lives." Wow. Let that settle in for a second. What a gift. And so we listen. We listen carefully to others, specifically to those who are walking close to God as they speak from him to us. And so we speak as we commit to walking close to our God too. Oh God, would you speak from your people to us and from us to your people? Speak, for we, your servants, are listening and we are willing to speak as well. Speak, oh God, from us and to us, we pray. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you once again that you speak. And thank you for the people that you have put in our lives who speak to us from you. Thank you for those people you put in our lives who walk so closely to you that to be near them is to be near to you. God, we can't thank you enough for them. Thank you. And God, that more and more we might be those people in the lives of others who walk so closely to you that the words we give, the love we give, the care we give is a direct reflection of your love and your word and your care. Make it so, our God. Make it so. Amen.